If it's creepy and it's freaky, it's on hashtag Creaky, a podcast about the paranormal and unexplained. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
You know, how similar they are in certain ways.
Right. And I'd heard about Black Eyed Children before. Welcome back to Creaky.
And thank you, Disembodied Voice, for that marvelous introduction.
We can't thank Disembodied Voice enough. I don't even think we're paying him.
No. Pro bono is what it is.
Yeah. But just for us.
Yeah.
Y'all don't be searching out Disembodied Voice.
Yeah.
Okay. Creaky. Sorry. We did a Sis Bro Show episode recently. So we got to get out of Sis Bro mode.
And into creaky mode.
Yes. Last week we talked about the moon-eyed people, which really got me thinking about what the hell they are.
Lots of theories going around back and forth that we're talking about.
And before that, we had been talking about skinwalkers, which is kind of similar to today's subject of black-eyed children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of seamlessly made us think of all three together and like how they...
Just listening to other podcasts and hearing other people's experiences with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of experiences out there from all over the country. I'm not sure about the world. I just read, you know, United States because it's in English. But all over, the first recorded one, it might not be the first experience, but it's the first recorded experience, was in 1996. So not too long ago. Yeah. It was by Brian Bethel, who was a journalist from Abilene, Texas. So, of course, this is the first recorded experience because he's a journalist. Mm-hmm. He's going to write about it. Have you heard this one?
No, I don't think I have.
In his report, he describes a late evening in his vehicle. He had stopped in a parking lot near a movie theater to write a check. Oh, the good times of writing checks. Mm-hmm. He was so absorbed in this that he didn't notice two young boys approach his car. He didn't notice until the older boy tapped on the driver's side window. He rolled his window and noted immediately a soul-racking fear, though he couldn't understand why. And that's what I found is like a common thing with the black-eyed children is this fear that overcomes people. The older boy said that he and his brother wanted to catch a movie but had forgotten their money at home. Could Bethel give them a ride? They assured him that it wouldn't take long. They were just two kids. They didn't have a gun. Bethel found the assurances unnerving and noted that the last showing of the film they wanted to see had already started and would be nearly over by the time he could drive them anywhere and get back. In his recount of the incident, he stated that when he broke eye contact with them, his fear became all-encompassing, and it wasn't until he broke eye contact that their eyes became completely blacked out. The older boy began to get frustrated when Bethel made excuses for not giving them a ride and said that they couldn't get into the car unless Bethel said it was okay. After that, Bethel tore out of the parking lot, and to this day, he still stands by that story.
Interesting.
Yeah, so their eyes looked normal until he broke eye contact, and then he noticed that they had turned all black.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's very well. Also, funny, interesting is that they're not allowed to enter vehicle, because a lot of the stories I've heard too are same things with homes where they cannot enter unless they're allowed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I've heard too, that they're trying to talk the people into letting them in, which, I mean, are they vampires?
Well, I mean, that's definitely what it puts you in mind of is vampires, because that's one of the things about vampires. They can't enter your home unless you invite them in.
Yes. And then you can like rescind your invite and they'll have to leave.
Really? I never heard about that.
I mean, I don't know.
I changed my mind.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Like, dang it.
Well, on True Blood, which was one of my favorite shows, you'd have to invite them, and then you could say, "I rescind my invitation," and then the vampire just kind of gets sucked out the door.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't know if that's the case with black-eyed children or not. It does seem like they do need an invitation.
Mm.
And... I did find an instance of somebody letting them in.
Really? Because that was one of the things I was thinking about is like, you know, are there any accounts of someone who actually lets them in and what happens after that?
Mm-hmm. You want to hear?
Yes, let me hear about this. It sounds like it's going to be super creaky.
In a snowy town within the middle of nowhere of Vermont, an elderly couple heard the sound of three loud knocks on their door. They opened the door and saw two children, a boy and a girl. "Parents will be here soon. May we come in?" The children did not make eye contact and just stood there in the doorway. The elderly couple were hesitant, but after a while, they let the boy and girl inside. The kids settled on the couch while the wife made some hot cocoa and husband asked them questions that went unanswered. The wife returned and noticed that her cat was scared and angry with the children. "May we please use the restroom?" The wife looked at the kids and she finally saw them. The children's eyes were black as a starless universe. She directed them to the bathroom and returned to her husband, who was covering his face with his hand. "Did you see their eyes?" The husband then shown her his full hands that were full of blood from a nosebleed. The power suddenly went out and the house turned as dark as the kids' eyes. The wife headed to the restroom and was confronted by the voice of the kids at the end of the hall uttering, "Our parents are here." The kids then exited the house, leaving the door wide open. The wife then noticed that there were two men at the end of the driveway. The men were extremely tall and slender, like way too slender. The wife waved, but they didn't wave back. The two men and the children then drove away in one car. And she said that it looked like they were having some trouble getting in the car because they were so freaking tall. The power then came back on a little later after the kids left. Throughout the next week, weird things happened in the house. Three out of four cats went missing, and the fourth was found dead in the pool of its own blood. The husband continued to have nosebleeds and finally went to the doctor, where he was diagnosed with very aggressive skin cancer. That's the end of that story. So it seems like they left cancer. I mean, I don't know, the cats were freaked out about it. The tall slender men remind me of the reports of aliens. That people saw, like when they see the Mothman. If you listen to our Great White Monkey Bat or Mothman episode, we talk about how after people had those experiences, they would see these like alien creatures come, and those are supposedly the men in black. Just really tall, weird looking things. And they would be threatened to not talk about their encounter.
Well, I'm kind of split between, like, you know, I always like to talk about my theories and stuff about whether it's extraterrestrial, could be alien, because it sounds definitely like it could be alien.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, just because of that one experience, that it's sounds very alien-like, but almost like an alien-ish skinwalker that takes the form of a child.
But it also puts me in the mind of something maybe demonic.
Yes.
Maybe something paranormal, because the whole having to have an invitation to come in. And then that the effects on people as far as, you know, the impending fear, and then how the husband was kind of, it sounded like he was exposed.
Yeah. Something happened.
Oh.
I've got that written down, like my theories, one being demon, because they sound demonic, black-eyed children.
Yeah. Need an invitation to come in. So it's like you have to like open your home to them, or open your, well, like I guess car as well. So like whatever you're in, like they cannot come in without an invitation.
Right. Yeah. It, I just know that I'm not inviting no black-eyed kids in here.
Yeah. So I don't think aliens would require an invitation. You know, they're aliens, they would go wherever they want to go.
Right. I mean, that's true, but again, we don't know if that's the part of the aliens' rules. I don't
either. That's possible. It could be part of like their like social like etiquette, like that's just, you know, how aliens were raised.
Yeah,
that's, or just part of their social, you know, standings, is that you cannot enter, you know, another alien's home or spaceship without an invitation.
And maybe they know that people are going to talk about this, and they want for some people to maybe have a sense of security, knowing that they're not that harmful if you don't invite them in. Do you know what I mean?
As far as like, are you saying like they want people to know these stories and be forewarned about them?
Sort of. Almost like, hey, they're not going to harm you if you don't let them in. So people would be less scared than if, you know, these stories where I woke up and a black-eyed kid was right beside my bed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Like a false sense of security.
Right. There is an experience that I found in North Carolina that I want to read about. And, you know, I've found several experiences, men in the military that have seen these black-eyed children. And this is one of those. He was a Marine stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. He lived in the infantry barracks and had a strange encounter with a pair of black-eyed kids. It always seems to be two.
Yeah, that's
what at least two, right?
Mm-hmm.
I live on the third floor of the barracks that have open walkways on the outside and rooms on the inside. This happened on a weekend back in November 2009. It was a weekend, so almost every Marine was out, either home, drinking, or sleeping. Only a handful were left in the barracks awake. He stayed in that weekend, or I'll read it as if I'm him. I stayed in that weekend because I was broke and had no money to go out. Been there. I was watching a movie when I heard a knock at my door, figuring it was my roommate who lost his key again. He went and opened it. Instead of his roommate, he found two little kids standing on the walkway. Only these kids freaked the hell out of me. I don't know what it was about them, but as a Marine, we're always told to listen to that little voice in your head because it might just save your life. Right then, that voice was screaming at me to shut the door and lock it. There was also the fact that these kids had absolutely pitch black eyes, no white or any other color to them whatsoever, just black. But he pushed that feeling aside and asked them what they were doing. They are so late. They responded by saying it was really cold out and they wanted to come in and read. He was confused as hell. I was confused as I keep going back and forth. Sorry. I was confused as hell because I've never met a kid that wants to read. Also, there was no mention of any parents or anything else you'd expect a lost couple of kids to say. I couldn't take my eyes off their pitch black eyes. It was like they were sucking me in. I felt horrible and was suddenly frightened for my life. Like I needed to immediately take cover. They just stared at me with those damn eyes. I took a quick look up and down the walkway to see if any other Marines were out, but there was nobody in sight. I turned back to the kids who I noticed had taken a step forward toward me. I got the feeling like I was being hunted, like these kids were predators and out for their next meal or something. Instinct gave way to reason. I decided to listen to that voice and shut the door and locked it. I heard soft knocking for the next 5 minutes before I heard my window rattle and then nothing. I went down to the officer on duty the next morning and asked him about it, and he said he hadn't heard or seen any kids in the area at all and dismissed it, saying that I'd probably had too much to drink, only I hadn't been drinking at all. I don't know what or who those kids were, but I doubt any of the families here would have let kids wander around at night on a military base. And for anybody unfamiliar with military bases, they don't just let anybody in.
Yeah, they're like... Yeah, the security gates.
Mm-hmm. They check your IDs. I've had my car searched before going into a military base. Mm-hmm. So two kids wandering up, they're not going to let them in. But we don't know if they did some voodoo on the gate people. I mean, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's
or just, if they just like appeared there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They just appeared there.
All right, so with this story, there's more ideas come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
One being that the reason they show up in pairs is that it is a single entity that's larger, like, you know, the tall, slender men that were there to pick up the other two kids.
Yes.
But they are able to appear there as two children.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that, but that does make sense.
Yeah, single entity appears as two children.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is just the black eyes in general, because we talked about skinwalkers on the past episode and how their eyes are always like yellow.
Yes.
No matter what form they're trying to take. So with the black eyed children, maybe there's something there about how eyes cannot be masked. You know, they always say like the eyes are your windows to your soul.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe there's something there about these types of shapeshifters or how things, you know, take form and appear to people. You know, they're able to change their appearance, but they cannot change their eyes.
They don't want you looking into their soul. Yeah. Because they probably don't have one.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're completely black. And as always, I keep hearing how they're compared to, like, you know, starless universes or like black voids. You know, maybe they are soulless. Maybe there's nothing there. Maybe that is leaning more towards, you know, the demonic.
Right. And I've heard people experience with demons, it affects their life even after. Mm-hmm. And this seems to have an effect on people, especially if they let them in, like a demonic presence. Really sounds demonic to me too, but yeah, it also sounds alien. Could there be demon aliens?
Yeah, well, it could be possible that demons in general have been, you know, are actually aliens mistaken as demons. You know, what we perceive as demonic could actually be extraterrestrial.
Yeah, like just a really bad ET.
Yeah.
Yeah, ET, go home. That's crazy to think about the skinwalker's yellow eyes. Yeah, like I didn't really put those two together, but that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it just sounds like these shapeshifters just do not have the ability to mask their eyes. Like whatever form they take, whatever they try to appear as,
right,
they can take those shapes, but they cannot change their eyes.
Well, it's a good thing, because if it was just random kids without the black eyes, then more people would be apt to let them in, I would think.
Yeah, like you'd probably still have that effect on you, but you know, you would be less likely to be a little more like weary if they just had regular eyes. Mm-hmm. You just would open the door and like, oh, there's a couple creepy kids here.
I found this experience from somebody in the Air Force, but it's a little bit different because it's only one kid. It kind of goes with your theory, though. Let me read it, and let's see if we pick up on the same thing, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to read it as if I'm him. I'm going to try to stick with that, too. I'm a 6'7", 260-pound airman who was prior special forces, so he used to be in special forces. About a month ago, while stationed at a base in Texas, now this goes back, let's see, this was in 2013, so when he says a month ago, I think a month in 2013. Mm-hmm. I was up drinking a beer when I heard a knock on my dorm door. I got up out of bed thinking it was my roommate, and since we have Jack and Jill styled bathrooms connecting our rooms, I opened our bathroom door and there was nothing. Being confused as hell, I heard this sharp rapping on my door again, so I look out my peephole. Now the hole being halfway down the door, I had to bend down to look through it. Standing there in front of me was a boy who looked about 17 or 18 at the most. I asked, "What's up?" And he looked up with a smile that I can only describe as partially cruel and hungry looking. With a gaunt face, the boy asked me if he could use my phone. I said, "Sorry, bud, I'm about to go to sleep, so try the SP building across the parking lot." I closed the door thinking nothing of it. He knocked again, and I walked over to my window. This time to intimidate the boy into leaving me be, I pulled my blinds up and looked straight at him. He looked at me. I'd say he was about 5'9 and about 140 pounds, real gaunt and frail looking. Believe me when I say I don't scare easily, but something about him made me feel uneasy as all hell. He looked up at me and asked if he could come in again, and then I saw his eyes. They were empty looking coals, and a smile crept to his mouth, that same hungry predatory smile, and I felt goosebumps on my legs and back. Something wasn't right. I said, "I'm going to tell you one more time before I kick your ass to get lost." I turned around to get my phone and looked back, and he was gone. The only thing that I can't help but shake is the feeling that I'd seen him somewhere before. In Pennsylvania, 2 years before that night, I was working in a gas station late one night. I was working an 11 to 7 shift in late October, still in high school, when I saw him walk across a 4-lane highway to our pumps and stare at me and my brother, who were outside smoking a cigarette. My brother yelled over to him, asking if he needed anything, and it was that same reply. He needed to use our phone. My brother told him it was behind the counter and he can't use it, but the kid kept coming closer and closer. We went inside and he stood in front of the shop glass and he just knocked for about 5 or so minutes until my brother got a bat and went outside. He said the same thing I did, that the kid had a white face and black eyes. And the guy goes on to say how uneasy he feels and that he feels like a baby because he's so terrified about it. But 2 years, the exact same person hadn't aged at all. And one encounter was Pennsylvania, the other in Texas.
So kind of zeroed in on him.
Yeah. And it was a teenager. So
not like the other counts where it's two young children. This time it was more of a, like a young adult.
Right. Yes. So that kind of goes with your theory that they tried to be, you know, not as threatening by being children, but this was a young adult. So maybe he didn't have to split, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thought as like a 17, 18 year old scrawny looking kid, nobody would feel threatened. But this guy,
actually goes back as well with the whole attachment and how it sought him out twice. Because we talked about that on the Skinwalker podcast. Yes. About how when Skinwalkers zero in on someone, that they hunt them.
Right.
They track them down wherever they go.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like these people still have experiences that may not mean seeing this person, but also just like weird experiences after that too, which is creepy.
Creaky even.
Ooh, extremely creaky. Let's take a break and talk some more about the black-eyed children. We're back. Before we get started, I do want to mention that Creaky now has a Patreon so that our listeners can help support the podcast and also fund our ghost and paranormal hunting adventures, which we've already began to sort of plan places that we want to go and bring, you know, our investigations to you guys. So that would include videos. If you subscribe to our Patreon and help us out with the cost of that, then there are special perks that you get, like access to our Facebook group and lives. So whenever we go and do our paranormal investigations, we'll do live videos that only those in our Patreon will be able to see. And you can visit our Patreon at patreon.com/creaky to join. So thank you guys for supporting us. And even if you can't, you know, just sharing the show and subscribing and leaving us a review or anything you can do will help. Because we love you guys. I've called us the people that join creeks. I have the creeks come out at night. I thought that was pretty good. Okay.
Not good.
Back to black-eyed children. So we've talked demons, aliens, skinwalker type things where they maybe it's like a Native American witch type deal going on. What else could it be?
Well, that's some of the stories we compare to with skinwalkers are kind of different, but also kind of similar. How I don't think they can enter the house. They always try to call to them in the voice of someone they know.
Right.
So I think skinwalkers might actually have to abide by the same rules of entering a home.
Right. Like they have to get the person to look at them.
Yeah. Or they have to, you know, they're trying to coax them to opening the door and letting them in.
Mm-hmm. Right. They don't do a good job of it.
No. I mean, well, but the skinwalkers, I mean, if they do fool people, you know, you might not hear these accounts from those people. Right. Because of what happens to them when they fall, well, you know, when what happens to, you know, if you let a skinwalker in.
Ooh. And the fact that somebody's had an experience with this the same black-eyed child, teenager, however you want to describe him. I don't know if they, like you said, he kind of got stuck to this guy or attached to him somehow.
Yeah, kind of. It sounds like zeroed in. Like that was like I don't know, something about it with these like skinwalkers and the Black Eyed Children, when they get like, I would say like the scent of someone or zero in on these people, like that's all they want.
Right. Now, there are other people that have theories on what they are. A conspiracy theorist, they call them conspiracy theorists, but they say that there are aliens trying to reach out to Earth. Demonologists, that's a thing, believe they are children of the devil himself. And if you let them in, you are allowing the devil to enter your life. They want to enter your home to call their parents. However, upon making eye contact, it's a much more sinister plot. So maybe the parent is the devil.
That's probably what I would lean more towards.
I mean, ghost hunters believe that they are extraterrestrials, as we've described, vampires, or ghosts that have entered the body of children. Almost like a
possession.
Yes, a possession. I don't know.
That wouldn't correlate, though, with the, I would think, with the teenage boy, unless he's been possessed multiple times and doesn't know it.
Right. Possibility, right?
And, well, that was also in two separate locations, though, wasn't it?
It was. Pennsylvania and Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, I watched a Twilight Zone episode, and I know this is, like, not... But some of these episodes really make you think. And there was one episode where a guy, they were doing a funeral for a guy, and he was in the coffin and they were in the church, and all of a sudden he woke up and he was fine. The doctor was like, I said you were dead. The setting of the Twilight Zone episode was the 1920s. The doctor said, I pronounced you dead. Your heart was not beating. You were dead. And everybody was like, oh, doctor, you didn't do the right thing, you know, something went wrong. Right. So they finally warmed up to the guy. He went back to live with his parents. He was an adult, but he was engaged to be married. And, you know, back then you lived with your parents until you got married. And his parents noticed that he was acting completely different. He was working, and before he hated work, but now he was like getting up early and excited about work. He was just not himself. So he was also concerned about other people and more caring. And people just thought it was really odd because it was not him. Even his fiance was like, something's different about you. He brought his fiance some flowers, and by the time he got there, the flowers were dead, and it freaked the fiance out. So she sent him away. And then the fiance's brother went outside and fought him, and the dude beat his ass. And apparently the fiance's brother always won the fights, but this was the one time he did not after the dude came back from the dead. So the whole town starts discussing things, and they say that it's a well-known fact that demons and, you know, ghosts will try to find freshly dead bodies to inhabit so that they can appear human. Now, the dude didn't have black eyes, but that's what it's reminded me of. That he was trying to get in with them. And so the townspeople came to him and they, you know, threatened him. And then he was like, well, if you're wrong, then you're kicking out one of your own. But if you're right, then I'm going to ruin all your crops. I'm going to bring locusts down if you're mean to me. If you are mean to my fiance, I'm going to do this and that. And then the whole townspeople were like, oh, you know, hey, welcome back. We're so happy you're here. And then they left. And it's fiance, like he lit a cigarette, but he didn't have a match or a lighter. And his fiance was like, how'd you do that? And he was like, oh, you're just seeing things. And that's how the episode ends. But it reminds me of this, because what if these children have passed away and something inhabits their body?
Well, that's actually a pretty interesting theory, because that would explain their very gaunt appearance.
Yes.
And what we discussed before about them being, you know, soulless, is that it could be just a possessed corpse.
Right. And they can't see out their eye. You know, like you said, the eyes are the windows to the soul, and they don't want you to see what's inside.
Yeah. And if they're soulless, they will be black and void.
Right. And I feel like it would be less likely people would recognize them as a child that had passed away if their eyes were blacked out. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that, because I think part of getting your facial recognition is, you know, their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Either way, I don't want to encounter a black-eyed child. I did find some more experiences if you want to listen to some. Just to see if we can catch some common theme, which we've already kind of gotten to go along with our theories. But you never know, we might come up with another theory. This was a bus encounter. I was riding the bus home after work. It was about 1 a.m. I'm a security guard and work odd hours. I'm sitting there and this guy gets on, sits across from me. He was wearing a suit, had a briefcase, regular looking guy in his 20s. What struck me about him at first was that he was chewing a cigar, not smoking it. You can't smoke on the bus. So I was just looking at him while he stared out the window and chewed his cigar. And all of a sudden he turned and looked at me. His eyes were pitch black. My heart started beating like a madman and I felt my temperature rising. I was starting to panic and had no idea why. I was just terrified of this guy. Then he grinned at me and his teeth were all covered in tobacco bits and brown juice, the cigar clamped between them. I almost screamed, but instead had the presence of mind to just get up and take a seat right behind the driver. I calmed down a bit after that, but I kept an eye on the guy. He ended up chatting with some girl that got on and they were still talking when I got off. I later convinced myself he was just trolling me and had fun with a pair of contacts, but now I wonder. So this is an adult and he got on a bus, which makes me think that this is not a black-eyed child encounter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe this was a guy that, but chewing a cigar, that's so gross. But that's something, you know, the more people have experiences and they do have those blackout contacts, the more you're going to see people trying to freak other people out.
Right? Well, oddly enough, this story has made me think of another theory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, I talked about this before, how I like doing this kind of stuff because I like to keep my mind open, because we talked about it before, you know, how I'm still on the fence about this stuff. I like to talk about the theories and possibilities, but at the same time, you know, I haven't really had any like crazy experience where it's like definite to me where I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely real.
Right. Yeah.
But I do like to keep my mind open and discuss possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever seen John Carpenter's They Live?
Oh, I haven't.
You haven't seen this? It was, no. Let's see. I actually looked it up real quick. It came out in 1988 and it was starring Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But the idea behind it was that there was like these aliens that were like living among them. And when there was like a group of like militia that was able to create these sunglasses that allow you to see the world for what it really is.
Oh.
And so when Roddy Piper was, you know, put these glasses on, he was able to see, you know, which people were the aliens. He was able to see like all the different magazines that was telling them and billboards that were just telling them to, you know, obey and all this other stuff. You know, subliminal messages, you know, everything was clear when wearing these sunglasses. So I wonder if these black eyed children or, you know, these encounters with people with black eyes are actually living among us, and that some people are able to see their black eyes. Like some people are open, like we talked about before, how people are more open to certain things, paranormal things.
Yeah.
What if these people that have these encounters are sought out by these things solely because they have the ability to see them?
Right. And you know, that is really interesting, because I think I've mentioned this before, and it might have been with a skinwalker, that once these people see a skinwalker, then they seem to have all these odd experiences after that. And just like your theory, maybe the same with the black-eyed children. The reason why they have these odd experiences after is because now they're open to more things. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's certain levels that you can be open to paranormal. It's not just you're either open to it or not. Like,
yeah.
Once you start believing, you start experiencing.
Yeah, you're more open to it. It's more drawn to you.
Right.
So that's what made me think of it was I had recently watched that movie again,
and that story
made me think of that. I mean, that kind of goes back to either these things could be demonic possession or still even alien, but these things could actually be among us, and the people who have these encounters actually can see them for what they are through their eyes.
Right.
By seeing people or children that have, you know, pitch black eyes, they can pretty much perceive them because they're able to be more open to these things, to the paranormal.
Yeah, like the guy on the bus saw him, but then the guy was chatting with a girl who may not have seen the eyes like mm-hmm. he did. Yeah.
Or it could be maybe even moments of clarity. Maybe there's just certain moments in life where people are able to all of a sudden perceive something.
Hmm. Possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to go to some place, but it's like there's nowhere that the black-eyed children like hang out. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's
like all frequent.
Different. Exactly.
Or hot spots.
Like the Brown Mountain Lights. We talk about how we do want to go and investigate the Brown Mountain Lights, which we will. And I'm thinking, since most of the experiences are in like September, October, November, that'll be the time of year that we go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, join our Patreon so you can help us out with that. But there's nowhere that we can go that there we might by chance see a black-eyed child. But I don't know if I would want to.
That's odd too. The whole, you know, the active season for the Brown Mountain Lights,
right?
You know, it's like later in the year, like fall going into winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about it before back on our Great White Monkey Bat and Mothman.
Yeah,
because we both, you know, had experiences with the Great White Monkey Bat
around the end of the
year, around the same time. It was October, November in that area.
When we go investigate, maybe we just take, you know, a couple of weeks and hit both spots to see what we find. And maybe we'll see a black-eyed child on the way from one to the other. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, the Great White Monkey Bat investigation would be easy enough. That's in our hometown.
Yeah, exactly. Really. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the place where I saw it was really close to where my best friend, my childhood friend, we're still friends today, her parents live, and I really believe that she would let us camp out. She lives on the end of a dirt road, just like perfect Great White Monkey Bat hunting area. Mm-hmm. The only issue is that there have been bear sightings around her, and I would hate to hunt the Great White Monkey Bat and find a bear. But you know, that's the risk we're willing to take.
Yeah, we'd have to just come prepared, you know, with a bear mace, even the foghorns. They recommend using foghorns.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
to scare bears away.
Going to the Brown Mountains. I mean, that right there, bears. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to camp out to see if we can see what everybody else has reported. You know, and like we had said before, if Brooks gets abducted, then, you know, it's all in the name of creaky.
It's for the greater good. I'll do my best to maybe be abducted with my phone so I can go live from an alien spaceship.
Yes. Please do that.
To all Patreons and be like, okay, I'm on the spaceship. I'm here with a couple aliens. We're going to talk to them real quick. Yeah, we'll do our best to make sure we get as much coverage as possible.
Yes, we will. So help us out. Okay, back to black-eyed kids.
Mm.
Do you think they're real?
I don't know. Everything we talk about, aside from Great White Monkey Bat, because I do now believe in the Great White Monkey Bat and that there's something out there that I don't completely understand. That's the one thing that I'm definite on. When it comes to everything else, though, you know, I've never had an experience with black-eyed children.
Right.
I've never had paranormal experience. I mean, you know, we talk about that stuff we encountered when we were kids, but we were kids, you know.
We were, but at the same time, I went all this time thinking it was just, I just encountered it. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, but at the same time, we could have been kids and talked about this when we were little and not remembered it.
I mean, that's true.
I always keep this stuff kind of in the back of my head as possibilities. I mean, like I said, I'm on the fence, but at the same time, I still kind of want to believe in these, you know, these stories and these accounts of black-eyed children. I still want to keep an open mind about it. I still want to investigate it.
Right. Yeah. You know, and all of these experiences that we read, some of them have a common theme. Sometimes they're completely different, but the common theme is what makes me think that it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know. People see crazy things, you know. I have seen things at night in my house and thought, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, is my eyes playing tricks on me? Or are there shadow people around here? What's going on?
That was the same thing I had with my encounter with a shadow person. You know, I talked about that on one of our previous podcasts.
Right.
And how, you know, I was so sure I saw someone go into the bathroom back in our home when I think we were still in high school.
Yeah.
But I was the only one home.
I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. I really think that house was haunted, though.
Yeah.
Just all the experiences I had there, I think that house was haunted. I'm just going to put that out there.
Maybe when we're back there hunting the gray monkey bag, we can stop by our old childhood home and talk to the people who live there now and see if they have had any experiences.
Oh, we can do it. I rode by there not too long ago, and our last name is still on the mailbox.
Really?
Yes. They never replaced it.
Would they have the same last name? It's just a coincidence.
I mean, maybe. I guess that's a possibility.
Oh.
But yeah, I really think we should, because where we saw the great owl Uncabat is in that area. And my friend, of course, her parents live close there. So that would be one place to hit on the way.
We'll just add that to the list of checking out our old childhood home and seeing if the current residents have had any experiences.
You know, in that exact same area where she lives, which is not even a mile away from the Berry Hill Bridge. That was another episode of ours where we can go investigate. And then right up the road from that is Gravity Hill. So there's a lot of hot spots we could all hit in one fell swoop, you know?
Yeah. If anything, that might be maybe our first stop, because that'd be easy enough to do probably a couple different investigations simultaneously there.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be some creepy live video that we could show too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to black-eyed children again.
Yes.
There's another encounter that I wanted to read, because this was an encounter that a 12-year-old had.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
On March 17th, 2008, I had my one and only encounter with a black-eyed kid. Before my experience, I'd never heard of anything to do with black-eyed kids. I was 12. I was sitting outside of a hairdresser's in an old Chevy pickup waiting for my mom to get her haircut. About 15 minutes had passed, and I saw some kid walking back and forth along the sidewalk in front of my parked car. At first, I thought I recognized him as one of my friends from school, so I banged on the front windshield until he looked my way. It was not anyone I knew at this point. I was not really scared, not yet. The boy walked over to the side of my car and just stares. I think to let me get a good look at his eyes to freak me out. And let me tell you, if you'd never seen a black-eyed kid, you have no idea what to imagine. Pupils black as the night sky. The boy whispers, "You must let me in." And then I locked the car doors and ducked down in the space between the seats. 5 minutes later, he was gone. When my mother got into the car, she told me a boy with black eyes came into the hairdresser's and insisted for my mother to give him the keys to my car. And she refused. So this makes me think, can't they go into public areas?
Yeah, the first thing I thought of is, if you went in there, well, that I'm not sure if that makes any sense.
Right.
Because they can't enter vehicles. Vehicles aren't homes, though.
Well, but vehicles are like your personal property, right? Mm-hmm. They want you to take them somewhere. Maybe they're getting in their vehicle to get you to take them to your house. Maybe that's the whole purpose of it. They want to get to your house.
We haven't heard any accounts of them forcing their way into any vehicles or just getting into a vehicle. They still need permission as if they're entering a home.
Right.
So what makes a salon different?
I'm thinking the salon is not a home. See, in my theory, the only reason why they want in your vehicle is so you can take them to your home. Hmm. So a salon, not a home, it doesn't matter. But they want to get into your home, whether it's by getting into your vehicle to go there or something. You know what I mean?
Like the like passage. Like right. They still need permission to get into a vehicle to go to your home.
Yeah. Like once they get your permission to enter, maybe they don't need it to go into your home. Maybe right there is all the permission they need.
Well, that's an interesting thing. If we happen to have a rare encounter with a black-eyed child, are we going to see where it goes? Or are we going to be like, yeah, sure, hop in?
Oh, I mean, I would be terrified to look at it, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe. I hear about the kids asking to get into the vehicle so that the person can take them home. But maybe that's just a ploy. I don't know. There are other stories. Most of the time they ask to use the phone, it seems like.
Well, that's usually like a common excuse, though, for people.
Right.
To try and get someone's home. Mm-hmm. Is that they need help, they need to use the phone and whatnot.
Yeah. Ooh. So let me read this experience. It was a cold October evening, not too far off from Halloween. It seems like, you know, some of them happen in March. These don't necessarily happen at one time of year. You know what I mean? Like we're reading all different March. And then what was the, I can't remember when the Marine, I think he said when it was, let me see. The Airman just said 2013. And it says about a month. So I'm not really sure exactly what month that was. The Marine.
Did it show when it was posted? Because he said it was like, he said a month ago, correct? Mm-hmm.
Oh, October. And then 2 years before it was October, the Marine was in November. The first one was, it just says 1996, late evening. It doesn't say exactly what month.
So maybe there is something to this whole, you know, Halloween and All Hallows Eve and how activity spikes around that time period.
So let's see. Cold October evening, not too far off from Halloween. I remember sitting in my room playing the original Suikoden.
Suikoden?
Suikoden. There you go.
That's a good game.
You know what that is?
Yeah, that's a good game.
The evening was slowly creeping by, so I decided to go to the corner store. It was only 3 blocks. Shouldn't be much trouble, right? During my walk, I see the normal, occasional person putting up Halloween decorations, kids playing in the yards. But this story is something far more sinister. I remember seeing two teens, about age 14, knocking on a door, asking to use the phone, which of course was thought was weird because most teens these days have phones. Mm-hmm. As I kept walking, they stopped and stared at me for a short moment. I felt the blood in my veins chill. I felt so creeped out, I hurried to the next block. The next block seemed fine until I looked behind me and saw the two teens were following me. I took off sprinting to the store at this point. I saw the sign for the store and relief washed over me. I opened the door and told the cashier about what happened on the way home. He looked at me slightly creeped out and told me a story about this happening to him in his hometown and how they found him the day he left and asked for his help in an emotionless voice. And he told me to never agree to help. He told me another story, but at that point I was no longer paying attention because they were standing at the door asking to be let in. The cashier freaked out and locked the door. The teens never seemed to waver or leave. They wouldn't step away from the door. It was an hour and the cashier and I were ready to fight our way out. But instead, he took me out the back. The one teen came around the back just as the door shut behind us. "Can you help me?" is all he would say. He was closing in on us and his eyes, they were black as a starless night. They were peering right into my soul. I couldn't help but gaze into his eyes. The terror, I can't remember too much of what happened next, but I do recall the sounds of struggle. When I came to, the cashier was struggling with both teens. He was calling out to me for help. I ran towards them, grabbed him by his collar, and pulled him between the two and knocked them over in the process. I didn't look back until I was near my house. The cashier was gone, but the teens were still following behind. I ran into my house, closed all the blinds, and turned the music up. I got lucky that day, but I'm not sure how long I can keep out of their grasp. I tried to find and thank the cashier for saving my life, but he didn't show up to work after that. I asked his boss, and he told me that he called and quit. He said he was moving. To this very day, I feel the fear of those eyes watching me as I drive to work. I sometimes will look out my window and swear I see them watching my house from a couple blocks away, waiting for their next chance. Like, they are just following him around, and they actually got into a struggle with them.
Yeah, an actual, like, physical encounter.
Yeah. But it was two of them, and they were about 14. I don't know. It's usually kids, but I mean, there were a couple of stories I read about adults, too.
Mm-hmm. Were there multiple adults? Any stories about multiple adults or just one?
Yeah, no. All right. You want to hear this one?
Yes, okay. I do.
In 96-97, I lived in a fairly old house with a cemetery at the end of the road. Cliche, I know, but it's an important detail. Nothing remarkable about the house or the area. It was just convenient for college. Anyway, I was up late one night on the PC in my bedroom, which looked out onto the street. It was about 2 or 3 a.m. For whatever reason, probably to give my eyes a rest, I wandered over to the window and looked down the road in the direction of the cemetery. Although it was too far down the street for me to see, and I saw three people walking slowly down the road. I could see that they were quite old and appeared to be dressed in funeral clothes, which, given the hour, was weird. There were two women and one man. I put their ages at about 80, and the woman in the middle was being steadied and guided by the other woman and the man. As they came closer, I got the impression that she was upset. My first thought was that given their age, she had recently buried her husband, and grief had caused her to behave irrationally, causing her to be out near the cemetery at the hour, and the other two were friends, you know, looking after her and trying to get her home. Anyway, it was all interesting enough for me to keep on watching as they got closer to the house. Just outside the front of my house was a street lamp. I watched them as they made their way past, but when they got to the lamppost, they all stopped, and the upset woman in the middle looked up at me and grinned. This was when things got weird. The grin became a sort of grimace, and if there was any color in her face to start with, it was now completely white. At that point, I realized I was staring right into her eyes, but her eyes were pitch black. Time sort of dilated. If you've ever crashed a car, the final split second before you make impact seems to drag out as you process more information than normal in the time frame. It was that sort of thing. I'm sure we only made eye contact for a second, but it felt like several minutes as my peripheral vision faded, and I felt like all I could see was the two black holes in her face. Although the distance between us didn't change, she somehow felt like she was coming closer, and I was kind of aware, although I couldn't honestly say I could see them at that point. The two people that were with her just continued to look down the road as if frozen, but waiting for this woman to finish whatever she was doing. I was suddenly hit with this intense feeling of dread and panic, so I threw myself on the floor. As soon as I'd broken her gaze, I felt pretty stupid that this upset old woman who clearly needed help spooked me so badly. So I looked out the window again, and there was no sign of them. It was a long, straight road, and the house was towards the middle, so they would have had trouble getting out of sight in time. Let alone three octogenarians, 80-year-olds, they would not have had time to run down the street and out of his vision. So they just disappeared. But this time she wasn't asking to come in or anything. She just looked at him.
That kind of goes back to the theory of people being able to perceive these things that live among us.
Right.
And maybe that's why she looked at them, because, you know, once they know that you can perceive them.
Creepy.
Yeah. Very creepy.
So it seems to happen too when it is getting dark, except for, you know, a couple here and there. It's usually at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come out at night to get you. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, nope. I thought kids were creepy, but to think of like an 80-year-old, that seems even more creepy. Yeah,
that seems the creakiest.
Yeah, right. Because it seems like I could say no to kids. I do it all the time to my kids. You know, kids come up, they've got black eyes, and no. But like an 80-year-old that needs help and can barely walk, I would feel bad, even though, you know, I would say no. It seems like maybe whatever it is tries to see what works better, and maybe they stick to kids more often than not because it does seem to work.
Yeah. So it's like they're trying to test the waters.
Right.
To see what they can do to get allowed into homes or.
Yeah.
I mean, these few accounts though that you've talked about where there's been out in a public place and they haven't been actually trying to get into the home makes me lean more towards that they actually live among us.
Yeah. They do.
And there are the majority of encounters of them trying to get into your vehicle or your home. But then there's also the accounts of seeing them out in public places where people who are more open can perceive them and see them for what they really are.
Right. You know, I had heard an experience. I couldn't find it, but I do believe I heard it on another podcast where a man called in about the black-eyed children. And then I started reading more about these other experiences. And it seems like if you see them in a parking lot and you're in your car and you give them the time of day, then they will keep on and trying to, you know, entice you to let them in, try to change your mind. And in doing so, they will use vocabulary and talk as if they are way older than whatever age they are. That seems to be a common theme of anybody that has considered letting them in, and the black-eyed child will keep on and on about.
Once they think they have a chance, then they're going to like really press the matter.
Right. And in this particular example, he was sitting in the parking lot. They asked if he would take them home because they needed money to get something to eat. And he was like, I'll give you money. And he's like, no, my mother will not allow me to take money from anybody. She's too proud. I need to go home so that I can get money from her. And he's like, so you don't trust me to give you money, but you trust me to take you home? Like, this doesn't make sense. And he's just going back and forth until he finally really looks at them and notices that they have the black eyes. And he said only one of them spoke. The other one just stood there. And I don't know if that's a common theme either, that just one of them talks. Or if they both do.
Or if they both talk simultaneously.
Oh, you know, in that case of the old couple in Vermont that let them in the house, it said they both asked to use the restroom and they both went to the bathroom together. So they don't leave each other.
And because they're one entity that can't be separated.
That just kind of proves your theory even more. Mm-hmm. Very creaky.
And of course, for all of our listeners, if you've had an encounter with the black-eyed children or black-eyed people in general,
mm-hmm.
we definitely want to hear about it.
We do. I mean, any experience, of course, we want to hear about. And if there's anything that you've experienced that we haven't talked about before and you would like for us to research more to see if you are the only one or if there are others out there, then reach out to us. You can hit us up on Twitter at #creaky, spell out hashtag. The same with Instagram, #creaky, spelling out hashtag. And then you can look us up on Facebook at #creaky, not creepy, creaky, paranormal and unexplained podcast. And of course, there is also going to be a link in the show notes that you can leave us a voice message if you plan to talk to us, or if you think that that would be better to just tell your story. And then I'm also going to leave that link for our Patreon that's brand new. You can be one of the first in it. And on that link, you'll see all of the different perks for all of the levels of membership that we offer, which include the Facebook group membership, the live videos. You'll also get to hear our creaky episodes earlier than they go live for everybody else. So you'll get the sneak peek at the creek. You like that?
Oh, a sneak creek.
Yeah, a sneak creek. Exactly. And next week, what were we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about paranormal activity on the coast.
Oh, yes. The coast of North Carolina and Virginia, and specifically the Lost Colony. Some experiences of that. And if some of our listeners aren't familiar, because we have listeners all over the world, we are worldwide. If you're not familiar with the Lost Colony of Virginia, we will go into the history of it before we just start talking about all the experiences.
Because it's something we actually learned in school growing up about this Lost Colony.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a lot of history that happened on the coast of North Carolina, being one of the original 13 colonies. It was a really bad place for ships just because of the way the coast of North Carolina looks. So we'll also get into that about all the shipwrecks off of the coast of North Carolina. And if you've had any experiences while you were at the beach, especially in North Carolina, Virginia, let us know and we may mention it on the show. We want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
No, I think that that's definitely a good discussion today. I definitely enjoyed this one and how it correlates with past podcasts.
I do too. I like thinking of all the theories. And of course, if you have a theory about black eyed children, let us know, because we're always willing to look at it from all different angles.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear it all. But tune in next time and, you know, let us know if there's anything that you would like for us to talk about. Other than that, keep it greeky.